Here, there are beaches as wide open as your plans and waterfront towns more charming than you could ever imagine, and activities to fill every sunny second of every sunny day. It's time to start thinking about your next break, and the Crystal Coast has a space for you and yours to do it all. Ready for the perfect spring getaway? Visit crystalcoastnc.com/booking now.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Any of you people out there remember the gorgeous ladies of wrestling glow? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. It is a jam-packed breaking news Wednesday. It is hump day. And, man, we've got all you-know-what breaking loose all over America. But we are going to start in our nation's capital, where the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, is in a no-holds-barred wrestling match. And it's not wrestling, which is the fancy thing. No, this is a good old-fashioned Southern wrestling match. And she is DDTing just about every Democrat up on Capitol Hill right now. So it's insane. Insane. She is not taking any BS today, folks, from that is bull fertilizer for you folks there in Oregon. She is not taking any prisoners either, and she's going toe-to-toe with these Democrats. And what I love about this version of Pam Bondi, I think, honestly, she's fighting for her job. That's what today is all about. And she is really fired up. So there are a lot of questions that are being hurled her way, and we're going to play some of the audio. Here is Pam Bondi pummeling Democrat Congress gal Jayapal. Let's take a listen.
Them and apologize for what your Department of Justice has
members,
done.
Members get to ask the questions. The witness gets to answer in the way they want to answer. The Attorney General can
that's
respond.
Not accurate, Mr. Chairman.
Because she doesn't like the answer.
Time. So, Mr. Chairman,
why
I have asked
didn't she asked Merrick Garland this twice.
I am reclaiming my time,
my
and when I
will
reclaim my time,
it
I'm
is
Mr. Chairman, the gentlelady is reclaimed
her time.
I'm not
going to get in the gutter for her theatrics.
The time belongs to the time belongs to the gentlelady. The gentlelady has 17 seconds.
Thank you. You're not going to answer this question, so let me just
Chairman,
say this.
I'll direct it to
what
you.
A massive cover-up.
No, I'm answering a question.
Chairman, will you restore her time? The
I'm
witness is interrupting.
I'm not going to get in the gutter with this woman.
Stop the
She's
time.
Doing theatrics.
Let me have my
gentlelady,
time.
The gentlelady from Washington controls the time. The gentlelady has 17 seconds. You can proceed with your final
Thank you.
17 seconds.
What a massive cover-up this has been and continues to be. Donald Trump made the release of the Epstein files the center of his political campaign because he thought it would benefit him. Then you got into office, Attorney General, claimed to have a client list,
regular
only to
order.
Then say that there was no list. Your deputy,
time,
Todd Blanche, met alone with Ghislaine Maxwell
the
and
gentlelady
transferred
has
her to a minimum security prison. And now you continue
time,
the cover-up, and I
has
wish
expired.
That you would turn around to the survivors who are standing right behind you and
Woman,
on a human level
Chairman,
apologizes
chair now recognizes the chair
on what you have done.
Time of the gentlelady expired.
Back.
The gentlelady, you have no time to yield back.
We appreciate
the thought.
Poor Jim Jordan. It's like wrangling cats up there. It's an honest-to-goodness cat fight on Capitol Hill. So now you got Bondi going after Jamie Raskin and all those folk. Cut 21.
Not on our time. No way. And I told you about that, Attorney General, before you started.
You don't tell me
anything. Oh, I did tell you because we saw what you did in the Senate.
Lawyer, not even a lawyer.
Committee will be in order.
I knew I should get back at least 45 seconds.
We will give you a few more seconds. I said that already.
45 seconds.
Okay. I'm timing right now, Mr. Nadler.
All right. During
my time, the answer to my question, how many of Epstein's co-conspirators has she indicted, is zero.
All right, so all of this is over the Epstein files. Jeez, Lou, you're not even a lawyer. So anyway, all of this is over the Epstein files. And this is just sheer hypocrisy. And I want to explain why. The Democrats had all of this, right? They've had all the files all the time during the Biden administration. 4 years. 4 years they could have released all of this information. 4 years. They had every shred of information that Pam Bondi has. For 4 years, they had everything. They didn't do anything with it. And Bondi is right to call out these hypocrites to their faces. Cut 20, please.
First, he brought up the president saying they indicted me twice. They sure did. They tried to impeach him twice. And you, Mr. Nadler, were one of the leads on the impeachment. I was on the other side. I lived that with you. During impeachment, you said the president conspired, sought foreign interference in the 2016 election. Robert Mueller found no evidence, none, of foreign interference in 2016. Have you apologized to President Trump? Have you apologized to President Trump, all of you who participated in those impeachment hearings against Donald Trump? You all should be apologizing. You sit here and you attack the president, and I am not going to have it. I'm not going to put up with it. You know, all they want to do, the American people need to know this. They are talking about Epstein today. This has been around since the Obama administration. This administration released over 3 million pages of documents, over 3 million, and Donald Trump signed that law to release all of those documents. He is the most transparent president in the nation's history. And none of them ask Merrick Garland over the last 4 years one word about Jeffrey Epstein. How ironic is that? You know why? Because Donald Trump, the Dow right now is over, the Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing. You're a great stock trader, as I hear, Raskin. The Dow is over $50,000 right now. The S&P at almost 7,000. And the NASDAQ smashing records. Americans' 401ks and retirement savings are booming. That's what we should be talking about. We should be talking about making Americans safe. We should be talking about, what does the Dow have to do with anything? That's what they just asked. Are you kidding?
Mr. Jordan, Mr. Jordan.
Committee will be in order.
Mr. Jordan, am I going to get an extra 45 seconds added to my time?
The committee will be in order. The time belongs to the gentleman from Texas. Ms. Bondi, the Attorney General can respond.
Thank you. The Dow has shattered 50,000 for the first time. This is crazy. They said it couldn't be done in 4 years, yet President Trump has done it in 1 year. National median rents have fallen to a four-year low thanks to Donald Trump. That's why they want to focus on Epstein and our most transparent president in the nation's history. The murder rate, as I said, has plummeted to a 125-year low thanks to Donald Trump.
Okay, so as she goes on, and you get a flavor of what she's doing here, this is really about saving her job, but I love it when any Republicans up there and just smacks around these smug little Democrats. So good for you, Pam Bondi. I don't know. I guess it should be enough to keep her around for a little bit longer at least, but the Attorney General laying it out there and doing, I think, a fine job of explaining once again that at the end of the day, the Democrats are all hypocrites. There's nothing in those files, nothing. And again, all the sordid stuff that's been coming out, you know, all the files of it now, you know, unredacted, and the lawmakers are going up there and everybody's all in a tizzy about it. They had all of that before. So if there was something that would have made Donald Trump look bad, they would have released that information. What they did not release was the information that it was Donald Trump who actually called the cops in the first place and said, you need to look out for this sleazebag. And by the way, the chick, speaking of chicks, Ghislaine Maxwell, she is downright evil. That was Donald Trump who did that. So Donald Trump is the guy that we should be thanking for exposing all of this. But nobody's talking about that at all. All right, this we'll let you know if chairs start flying. I mean, this is getting good. I mean, it's like a good old-fashioned Southern wrestling match, as they used to say back in the day. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. I have a very simple question for you, ladies and gentlemen, and here it is. Do you want the Senate to pass the SAVE Act? You know, I don't think I've asked that specific question of this audience. We ask it to every single lawmaker that comes on the program. We ask that question. But I'm curious to hear from you today. Do you want the Senate to pass the SAVE Act? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, we have some updates here on a couple of stories. We had a state lawmaker. Remember LaMonica, or say a congresswoman from New Jersey. Her name is LaMonica McIver. If you remember, she's one of the New Jersey three that got arrested for attacking ICE agents outside of an ICE facility in New Jersey, right outside of New York City, actually. And so now she's grilling Trump administration officials, and she's asking about their religious beliefs. Take a listen to Cut 14.
Answer them. So let me ask you some questions that you may be able to answer. Mr. Lyons, do you consider yourself a religious man?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes. Okay, well, how do you think Judgment Day will work for you with so much blood on your hands?
I'm not going to entertain that question.
Oh, okay, of course not. Do you think you're going to hell, Mr. Lyons?
I'm not
going to
entertain.
Of course not. Gentlelady. How many government...
The gentlelady will suspend. Chairman? A gentlelady will suspend.
Demon time.
Yeah, that's what that is. That woman's a demon. I'm sorry, what'd you call that?
Demon time.
It is demon time. LaMonica McIver, demon woman. What kind of a question is that? The fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, that it is an important question, but my question to Miss McIver is, what about you, ma'am? Are you going to burn in the lake of fire, or do you have a relationship with Almighty God? And if you don't, by the way, I am happy. I want everybody to go to heaven. So if Congress Gal McIver is curious, I am very happy to sit down with her. I'll fly to Washington, D.C. on my own dime, and I'll sit down with her, and I will explain the gospel message, because clearly I don't think she knows. And right now she may be on the slippery slope to you-know-where. One other thing for Congresswoman McIver. Can we play the very first chunk of that again just one more time?
Answer them. So let me ask you some questions.
All right, thank you. Madam McIver. The word is ask, not axe. Axe is something you do if you're going to chop down a tree. You'll want an instrument known as an axe. I recommend a chainsaw. It's not as cumbersome as the axe is, but no. You don't axe a question. You ask. Ask a question. Again, the more you know, ladies and gentlemen, the more you know. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. And yes, you may ask or ask me anything you want. We'll be right back, everybody. Folks, if you're looking for a romantic comedy that's actually funny, uplifting, and safe to enjoy with your family, well, this is it. Angel Studios has done something special with Solo Mio, a film that proves Hollywood can still tell a great love story without crudeness or compromise. The movie set in beautiful Italy, stunning scenery that feels like a breath of fresh air. Kevin James delivers big laughs and real heart, and Jonathan Romy brings a surprising and delightful performance that audiences are going to love. In a world filled with nonstop bad news, it's refreshing to sit down and watch a movie that leaves you smiling. This is wholesome entertainment you can feel good about supporting. So right now, when you become a premium member of the Angel Guild, you'll receive 2 free tickets to see Solo Mio in theaters on February 6th. Grab your spouse, your sweetheart, or your family and let's support stories that celebrate humor, hope, and love. Visit angel.com/starns.com today.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
All right. Hope you're having a great day out there, America. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go right to the phones. Again, the question, ladies and gentlemen, the SAVE Act. Do you want the Senate to pass the SAVE Act? Let's go to North Carolina. Charles is on the line. Hi, Charles. What say you?
God, I say the Senate needs to pass this thing ASAP because as good as the economy is, and in spite of all the accomplishments of President Trump, if this act does not pass, the Democrats are going to cheat and win the midterms. Most likely 2028, Trump's going to be impeached, and he could spend the rest of his life in jail, and then they're going to come after MAGA. So, Todd, you know, there was a movie, The Untouchables, years ago, and Sean Connery was talking to Kevin Costner, and he said, what are you prepared to do to get Capone? And Kevin Costner says, every legal means at my disposal, to which Connery replied, and then what are you prepared to do? So, Todd, this is what I think Trump needs to do. I think he needs to call an emergency session of Congress and keep them in session until that SAVE Act is passed. I think he needs to demand from Senator Thune a speaking filibuster, otherwise call for the removal of Senator Thune as the majority leader. Todd, I don't care if he has to close off airspace so senators cannot leave for the weekend to go to Munich or wherever they're going to go, but keep these people in session. And as a final thing, if there's any senator in the Epstein files, if I were Trump, I would threaten to release that to the public and ruin them politically and financially unless they pass the SAVE Act or remove the filibuster so it can pass. That's what he needs to do.
You know, the sad thing here, Charles, is that the voter ID is overwhelmingly popular with everybody, including Democrats. However, you've got Democrat politicians, they don't want it because they know this is exactly how they're getting elected, by using a lot of grifters and a lot of people who should not be voting. Pew Research Center, 83% of Americans favor requiring all voters to show government-issued photo ID. 95% of Republicans, 71% of Democrats, only 16% of Americans are in opposition. And it's not just that poll. It's Gallup, 84% of support, including 98% of Republicans, 84% of independents, and 67% of Democrats. So the bottom line here, Charles, voter ID is not controversial to anyone other than congressional Democrats and Senate Republicans. That's it.
No, 100%, Todd, and I saw and heard those statistics, and that's why Speaker Thune, Leader Thune, needs to, why not have that speaking filibuster? Let the Democrats get up there on the United States Senate and explain to the American people why that overwhelmingly support voter ID. Explain to the American people why you don't want them, why you don't think there should be voter ID. Let them make complete fools of themselves and let them expose themselves as the frauds that they are. And I can't understand why Senator Thune would not do that.
I'm going to explain why, Charles. And part of it has to do with your senator, Tom Tillis. He doesn't have the votes on the Republican side. That's one of the reasons why. And also, look, Thune may be compromised. At this point, he may be compromised because if I'm the majority leader, I'm calling out anybody in the caucus who is opposing this. By the way, Lisa Murkowski yesterday became the first Republican senator to openly speak out against the SAVE Act. So she is not going to support this. And I believe there are 7 or 8 Republicans all told who are opposed, but Lisa Murkowski is the first one to come out and say, yeah, I'm out.
That's the first time I've heard
Whoops, not sure what happened to Charles there. We lost him. But again, Lisa Murkowski announcing late yesterday, that she will not be supporting the SAVE Act. She said that when Democrats attempted to advance sweeping election reform in 2021, Republicans were unanimous in opposition because it would have federalized elections. And she says that she opposes the federalization of any elections. So there you go. So the question, ladies and gentlemen, what do you want the Senate to do? And Charles is right here. If we do not get this done, the Republicans could be in some hot water in the midterms. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
But that doesn't give you a right to go into the Capitol and disrupt Congress. Something these guys talk about every day. You can't do that. So when Don Lemon said that he was exercising his First Amendment free press rights, freedom of the press rights, that's not really accurate because he was trampling on other individuals' rights. Is that true?
Chairman, we will always protect our churches and the freedom of religion. And yes, that's accurate.
First right mentioned under the First Amendment, freedom of religion. Freedom to practice your faith the way you think the good Lord wants you to, right?
That's right, under the federal government.
And isn't it true that Mr. Lemon met at a shopping center with the rioters who entered City's church in St. Paul, met with them prior to marching to the church?
He did meet, and this is a pending case right now, so I will only stick to what is in the four corners of the unsealed indictment, if I could, Chairman.
Yeah, I'm focused.
There's a lot more that will come out. But under the four corners of the indictment, yes, he did. They had an operation called Operation Pull-Up. They said they were gearing for a resistance. They met in a parking lot, and they caravaned to a church on a Sunday morning when people were worshiping together.
And Mr. Lemon said that he live-streamed before entering the church with the rioters. Didn't he say we're going to head to the operation? Didn't he say this on, he said this on camera, is that right?
Yes, Chairman,
yeah.
And more.
That he was in Minnesota and that, as you said, they were gearing up for an operation. So, you can't do that. This is why this is, I think, so important that this guy be held accountable, and I think why you guys have charged him and indicted him.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Just a smidge of the conversation from the House Judiciary Committee hearing that's underway. Pam Bondi is testifying there, and she is owning the Dems, and you got to love that. Again, the question of the hour, do you want the U.S. Senate to pass the SAVE Act? Should we have voter ID in America? There's actually, there were some Democrat lawmakers, some females, and they were out there yesterday saying that the female voters of America are going to be among the most disenfranchised because they said one out of every four women in America has no form of ID. Is that true? I invite these Democrats to come on the show, and they always decline. Because I'm a nice guy. We're not going to do any kind of gotcha stuff. But I just want to know, where are you getting your data from? What was it? Word salad. Kamala Harris. Is it true she's going to be a spokesperson for Josh, the wine company? I don't know. We don't want to spread rumors, but I heard it. Anyway, Kamala Harris, she was talking about how folks who live in the country can't get IDs because they don't have Xerox machines. Is that true? Where did she get that information? Was there a survey done? Did somebody go down to, I don't know, Bucksnort, Tennessee or Hanging Dog, Tennessee, and they go out there to the countryside and they just poll people? I'm just curious. Let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Mike in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Mike, what say you?
Greetings, Todd. We miss you on the morning show. We need to see.
Okay, let's put him on hold. All right, thank you. All right. The thing is, folks, when you call in here, stay on the topic. That is a hard, fast rule. All right. Again, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Here is CNN, cut number six.
Take a look here. Favorite photo ID to vote. 85% of white people favor it. 82% of Latino. 76% of black Americans favor it. So the bottom line is this. Voter ID is not controversial in this country. A photo ID to vote is not controversial in this country. It is not controversial by party, and it is not controversial by race. The vast majority of Americans agree with Nicki Minaj that, in fact, you should have a photo ID to be able to vote.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's that simple at the end of the day. It really is. Congresswoman Mary Miller, our good friend from Illinois, says that today, right now, which is why we're asking the question about the SAVE Act, she said there is an all-out push on Capitol Hill to surge the SAVE Act on the Senate floor. Take a listen.
This is common sense. It's a popular issue with the American people. We will not maintain our sovereignty as a country if we cannot have free and fair elections. The Democrats are lying about people not being able to get voter IDs. They've insulted us rural people by saying we can't get voter ID. They are wanting to hang on to their power, and they have bad ideas. They know they need to cheat to get reelected. That's what this is all about.
And then how frustrating is it that we're just not, that the Senate just doesn't seem to be playing ball the same way the House is?
Yeah, I don't understand the Senate, because this is kind of about the life of our country. And does the Senate not care? There's members there that have grandchildren. Do you not care what we're leaving our children and grandchildren? This is essential for our country to continue to be a free country.
Yeah, I mean, she's right about that. And honestly, I like the idea of President Trump calling a joint session of Congress and laying out the facts. And maybe that's what needs to happen here. I don't know. I just get the impression at the end of the day that everybody up in Washington, including the White House right now, is just playing games, that the president wanted to get through the one big, beautiful bill, and now we're just going to coast our way and hope that's enough to get us, you know, reelected in the midterms. That's sort of the vibe I'm getting. I may be off kilter here, but that's the vibe I'm getting. Let's go to Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas. Steve, what say you?
Hey, Todd. On this SAVE Act voter ID, I've got a question for the Democrat politicians, and I think everybody in the media ought to start asking this and see what their answer is. I checked on AI, and basically I think every benefit program or aid program that you're eligible to get from the government requires an ID to sign up for it. Why are they only concerned about voter rights and IDs? I don't ever hear them crying that people can't get their Social Security or people cannot get their other benefit programs from the government because they don't have ID. Why aren't they concerned about all that? To me, that would be a lot more important than voter being able to vote.
Well, it's a fair question. Let me just say this. Congressman Tom Tiffany, who's going to be on my Newsmax show tonight, he hit a home run. He was talking about this whole issue of voter ID and how you've got to be able to show some form of identification to go and vote. And the Democrats are saying, no, we can't do that because not everybody has access to an ID. That's, first of all, not true. Our good buddy, Dan O'Donnell, who's a great talk show host in Madison, Wisconsin, exposed this story. You ready for this one, Steve? East High School holding a drag show in its auditorium. That's not the story. They're going to feature students who are drag queens. But the show, which is going to be open to the public, but get this, Steve, to go into the drag show, to watch this drag show, guess what, Steve? You got to show a photo ID.
Yeah.
To go to a drag show.
I feel sorry for these people that are so being so mistreated in this country and can't get an ID. Now, I can't even buy a six-pack of beer or a pack of cigarettes.
Well, again, and the point the congressman is making from Wisconsin is that only Democrats would make drag shows more secure than our elections.
Well, that's more important to them than our election.
I guess so. All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Let's go back to Mike. All right, Mike, what say you about the SAVE Act?
What I'll say is that the SAVE Act on its face is unconstitutional based on Article 2 of the Jay Treaty, and further in there where it declares that the people are not required to declare to be a citizen or take an oath of allegiance, but they still have the right to engage via the vote. Also, the Real ID is tying people to the social credit system. And the issue to me, the biggest issue is the tabulation. We need to go back to paper ballots so we can have a fair counting without manipulation with inside the computers. And that way, Trump's election was stolen 4 years ago. Everybody knows that. Nobody voted for Biden. That's a given that elections can be rigged. We need to stop that by going back to paper ballots. Otherwise, the states already have voter ID cards. They've already done the vetting of these people. Now, getting rid of the voter rolls of people that have died, they can do that easily. Every state has a list of deceased citizens from the Social Security Administration office. They can get that for free from Social Security Administration. Put them in your Excel spreadsheet and have them overview. And those that duplicate, delete them. I said this back in 06, and they did it. And Shelby County purged over 3,000 deceased people that had been voting for years. We need to do it every cycle.
How do you prove, though, let's just say, but how do you prove that the people voting are actually those people?
Well, you come in with your voter ID card, number one, and those are kind of hard to duplicate. They can be duplicated, obviously, but it's kind of hard. And voter fraud is a real crime, and people do go to prison for voter fraud. But to me, the tabulation is what is easily rigged right now. We need to address that, too.
So paper ballot, so you think the only thing we ought to be doing or changing is going back to paper ballots or paper ballots only?
Eliminating the duplication of voters that are on the deceased rolls and paper ballots, and that would be the easiest things to do right away. That'll eliminate majority of the manipulation because these elections are easily manipulated through the tabulations.
Well, I will say this. In Tennessee, you do have to show an ID to vote. I always ask for a paper ballot, and I know it sort of drives people nuts, but I just don't trust those machines. And I always want a physical paper ballot that I can personally handle. And I haven't had any issues so far.
It works when the people engage themselves like you are doing, and if more people would speak out to their elected representatives and demand we all go back to paper ID or paper ballots, then that would be the starting point, I think, to having more credible elections, and that's what everybody wants. Because right now, most people, I don't believe this poll that you're reading for a moment, because the people that I'm talking to, at least in my circles, they think it's a rigged game. The election's completely rigged.
Well, you believe that. I mean, I just rattled off six different polls. So all you don't believe any of those polls.
I don't know of anybody that's ever been contacted by one of those polling companies, and I talk to a lot of people. I'd like to find somebody who's actually polled to come up and say, yeah, I was polled, and I agree with this, but I don't know where they're getting these people, how many, what demographics they're going after, but it's not a left-right paradigm anymore. People are no longer following the parties, the left-right, the red and blue. It's all about the Constitution and the independents who are going to stand
right
for the Constitution.
Well, even the independents, though, Mike, even in the Gallup poll, 84% of independents say they support requiring a photo ID to vote. When you've got 20, and they're telling us that there are probably 10 to 12 million illegals in the country. I think that number is probably close to 20 to 30 million. When you've got that many illegals in this country, you can't tell me those folks are not going and casting ballots. I mean, I hear what you're saying, that you believe that the tabulation is where the cheat is happening. But I think we still have to address the fact that we've got people that are voting that should not be allowed to vote. And honestly, all of them need to go to jail. Mike, I got to run. Thanks for the call. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I've got to tell you about this great new project that my good friend Dr. Michael Youssef is working on. He is a wonderful pastor. You see him all the time, hear him on the radio, Leading the Way Ministries. And Dr. Youssef is just brilliant. And they have created a brand new program to redeem AI. It's called My Faith Assistant, and it's a Bible-based tool that is redeeming artificial intelligence. And guess what? It's free. Yeah, that's right. It doesn't cost you anything at all. It's complimentary. And I want you to go and check it out. MyFaithAssistant.com is the website. That's MyFaithAssistant.com. You don't have to log in. It's completely free. And here's how it works. You're going to be able to get personalized guidance. How can I share God's design for sexuality with my child? You just type in the questions, and you're going to get solid biblical advice. This is Not like all the other, like ChatGPT, Meta, AI, all that other stuff. No. This is based on Bible. Bible-anchored, theologically vetted, built on Scripture, and great seminary-level resources, and shaped by more than 50 years of teaching from Pastor Dr. Michael Youssef. So I want you to just go and check it out. That's all. And you can, by the way, you can also get some pretty clear answers to theological questions like, where did Jesus claim to be God? You're going to be able to find trusted teaching by topic. What does the Bible say about politics? And you're going to be able to type in those questions, and you're going to get great, solid answers. MyFaithAssistant.com. That's MyFaithAssistant.com. Check it out today. All right, coming up a little bit later on in the show, we're going to introduce you to two great guys. And I know many of you have a lot of financial questions just about your personal finances, you know, savings, 401k, the whole nine yards. There's a lot going on in the world of finance and the economy. And so once a week, these guys are going to come on, my friends from Strategic Financial Partners. And I've known these guys for a while, and they're super awesome. And you're going to have the opportunity to call and even ask a question of our great financial advisors. That's coming up in the last hour of the program. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Keith in North Carolina wants to weigh in today. Hi, Keith. What's going on?
I haven't spoken with you in quite a while. The first time I voted, it was from aboard a naval war vessel. I was 18, and I had to sign a piece of paper, and I had to have a witness. And ever since then, I've always showed my IDs. But a couple of years ago, when I went to vote here in North Carolina, they didn't want to see my ID. But now they've changed the rules again, and now we've got to have IDs. I personally do not understand why people cannot show an ID. Now, maybe what we ought to do, and I apologize, I have to have you on speakerphone because my phone is broke. But we ought to make it easier for people to get IDs, and then they don't have any excuse whatsoever.
Well, I can tell you in North Carolina, you don't have to have a photo ID. There may be other ways to confirm your identity when you vote in person. I will tell you, in Tennessee, where I live, you have to confirm your identity with a photo ID. I'll never forget, I walked into my local, the place where I go and vote, and I literally knew everybody in there. And the lady who was checking ID, she says, "Well, hello, Mr. Starnes, good to see you. I need to see your ID, please." So, you know, that's how it works. I know in Georgia, you folks have to have a photo ID, Mississippi as well. So, and Arkansas too. It just seems to me, and the argument coming from the U.S. Senate, and Keith, thank you for the call. The argument coming from the senators who are opposed to this, they're saying that we're federalizing the elections and they don't want to go down that path. They say the states ultimately should have the final say. Well, the states aren't doing their job to ensure there's integrity at the ballot box. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show. 901-260-5926. Our telephone number, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
You know, I love these kinds of stories. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Great to have you with us today. By the way, our website, and if you haven't been, you got to go check it out. We post fresh content every single day from the show, toddstarnes.com. Also, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't done so, you should download our podcast. It's all 3 hours of the show. So if you miss a segment of it, I know some of you listen to us on your lunch break. Maybe you get a phone call or somebody's texting you and you get distracted. Look, it happens. It happens to everybody. So that's why I want you to head over to our website and download our free podcast. It is available on whatever platform you want. We provide that platform for you. And also, we put out a daily newsletter. It comes out every morning at around about 7 o'clock Eastern time, and you get it delivered directly to your inbox free of charge. We don't spam you. We don't do any of that stuff. So I want to encourage you to go and check it out. These are great resources for you and a great way to start your day with some of that fresh content. Our telephone number, write this down, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, we're about to give you a little lesson, and I want to gather, if you're a white liberal, I want you to crank up the volume here, and I want you to listen to what I'm about to tell you. Because many of you white liberals, and especially you white liberal women, you have become the savior of the black folk. And you know who you are. So you're out there and you're defending all the black people of America, and you're apologizing, you're getting down on bended knee, you're writing songs in your churches about how evil white people are. You know who you are. Well, in the state of Texas, there is a bit of a controversy involving the Senate race there. And Jasmine Crockett is running. And she, by the way, Jasmine Crockett believes that she is the most intelligent woman out there. She said, as a matter of fact, that she's known for her intelligence. Well, she's also known for her racism. And I don't think she means anything by it. It's just who she is. It's her nature. And Jasmine Crockett is out there, and she was having a conversation about James Tallarico. And Tallarico is your traditional squish Democrat. He is a he's a soy boy. All right. I don't mean that in a negative connotation. It's just who he is. That's his nature. And so this guy is in a little bit of hot water with Jasmine. And this came up in a conversation that Jasmine Crockett had. And so you need to understand something. Jasmine Crockett is a black woman, and James Tallarico is a white dude. But they're both Democrats, and they're both radical progressives. And you would think that makes them... oh, what is the word I'm looking for? Bosom buddies. But it is the farthest thing from the truth. Let's take a listen.
So I think it is what so many black people fear, is that, you know, even the most quote unquote well-intentioned white folk sometimes behind closed doors may say things about us and it makes us question. And it doesn't matter your political affiliation. And I think that it is a real fear that a lot of not just black people, but minorities have about how they may get talked about behind closed doors. And so the question, I think, for a lot of voters will be, you know, is this someone who can represent me when if behind closed doors with a black woman, you felt comfortable enough to say this? What exactly is happening behind closed doors with non-people of color? And I think that that's a real question.
Oh, this is going to be so much fun. So, look, here's the challenge with people like Mr. Tallarico. And when I say people like Mr. Tallarico, all you white woke folks out there. Now, all you white woke folks, here's the problem. You may be woke, but you're also white. And your whiteness overshadows the fact that you're woke with people like Jasmine Crockett. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how woke you may be, you're never, ever, ever going to do anything about your skin color. And that's an important factor when it comes to people like Jasmine Crockett, the most intelligent woman in America, according to herself. And I hate it for Tallarico, because the guy, you know, the guy does seem to think that well, you know, he's all that in a bag of chips. But at the end of the day, he's a white guy, and it's just not going to work. So anyway, Crockett, again, responding to some remarks from her opponent, James Tallarico, and Colin Allred. And so I hate to break it to Mr. Tallarico, but he really is one of those well-intentioned white folk that she be talking about. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The more you know. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We've got some time here. Athens, Georgia, John is on the line. Hi, John. What's on your mind today?
Oh, hi, Todd. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Awesome. I just wanted to address your earlier caller about voter fraud. And I have a solution that is so simple, you're going to laugh when I tell you. When you go to the airport, if you have NTSB PreCheck or Clear, they use a retinal scanner. And I'm Johnny D, and you're Todd Starnes. There's no question about it. And what say you?
Now, I like this idea. John, I actually am a member. I have TSA PreCheck, and I also have Clear. And I got to tell you a funny story, though, about Clear. So you're right. They do the retina scans, and you pop up to the machine, and you look at it, and then it verifies your scan, and off you go. So, John, I had to have emergency retina surgery, and about 6 or 7 months later, after the surgery, I was going to fly somewhere, and I noticed two things. First of all, I have my I fly a lot. I'm a million plus miler. So I use my phone for everything, right? So, John, I called up my Delta app, and my phone has a little security thing. So I had to show the Dylan, what do you call it? You got a face verification?
Yeah, face ID.
So I had to do the face ID, and what was it? It would not recognize me, and I realized why. Two things. Number one, it was my eye. But number two, when I took the original picture, I had just gotten off the TV set, so I had makeup on, and it would not recognize me without the makeup on. They're like, who is this frightening, pale creature? That's what
You're
the
an
phone
imposter.
Said. I was an imposter. So then I go up to the Clear thing, and I put my eyeballs in there, and it would not recognize me because of the eye surgery. Fortunately, I had the backup. You've got the, your fingers? You got to put your finger down there, and boom, you're clear to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And Todd, let me share something with you.
And this had nothing to do with anything you were going to say, but my apologies. Go ahead, John, and finish your thought.
No, not at all. I had retinal tears, and I had the surgery, and that was the worst experience of my entire life. It was torture to sit in that chair and have a doctor point a laser in your eye and stitch up all the tears. And my eye turned black. That's how bad it was.
Oh, my word. I'm getting PTSD again. That was, I have to tell you, I've had major open heart surgery, and then I had this retina surgery, and I would rather have open heart surgery again.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. It was painful.
No, but, you know, I like this idea. So you're thinking doing a retina scan or something you'd be able to go in there and root out all the fraud.
Exactly. And the only reason they don't do it is because they want voter fraud. That's my theory.
Oh, of course they do. Yes, they do. And let me say something here. There is dark money involved in all of this, and that's the only reason the Senate Republicans are defying logic, because this is not even an 80-20 issue. It's a 90-10 issue, and the Republicans ought to be jumping all over this, and they're not, because some of these people are bought and paid for.
Absolutely. Let me ask you one more question. I know I'm out of time, but how do I implement this idea? Who do I call, and, you know, what do I say?
I'd call your Secretary of State there in Georgia, if that's the person in charge of your state elections, and maybe pitch the idea. I like that idea.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, John, good job. Let me know how that turns out. I'm curious to hear what they say at the Capitol.
I will do it tonight, and you have a wonderful day.
All right, you too, John. Thank you. Good old Athens, Georgia, home of the University of Georgia Bulldogs, and the B-52s. Dylan, do you remember the B-52s?
I don't think so.
We got to find some B-52, whatever their hit song was back in the day.
Okay,
they were from Athens. Great band. I know just about everybody listening to WDUN knows who the B-52s are. Let's go to Ted in Oregon. Hi, Ted. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I have an idea about the SAVE Act. I think they also include in that law that there'd be three days to vote, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm on a walk here right now. Okay, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then all the absentee ballots must be received by Friday. And then Election Day could be the announcement of the winners through the states.
Sort of like the Miss America pageant, where you have different events each day leading up, culminating to the big day.
Correct, yeah. Election Day would actually be a final day for, and the election would be announced.
You know, it used to be, Ted, I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I would just like to see, let's make Election Day a national holiday. Everybody gets a day off. You go, you vote, and that night we find out who won the election. I have a big problem with all the early voters and, you know, the absentee ballots and all that kind of stuff. I know some people have legitimate issues, and I get that, but most people are now doing it as a matter of convenience instead of necessity.
Right. Well, anyway, I think it would give us more options, days to vote in and make it more easier for people to get in to cast their ballots.
Ted, we'll throw it out there to the crowd and see what they have to say. So you're wanting a three-day sort of like Votapalooza.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Votorama, maybe? Votorama. That's better. that's better than Votapalooza, yeah. All right, Ted, we'll see what people say about it. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for the idea. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Germantown, Tennessee. Professor Murph, listening to us on KWAM. What's going on, Murph?
Dr. Starnes, always a pleasure. Just a couple of three observations. Someone needs to tell Representative Crockett that black and white are not colors. They're neutrals. So why she keeps screaming about this is beyond the imagination. And she's a St. Louis girl who went to private schools. So what is she fussing about? That's one observation.
She went to Rhodes College, by the way. That's a highfalutin place.
Exactly. Second observation, yesterday I believe the mayor gave his State of the City address, or he's going to this week. I can't remember exactly. But I was reading some of Thomas Jefferson, and you might find this interesting. The mobs of great cities add just so much to the support of pure government as sores do to the strength of the human body. It is the manners and the spirit of a people which preserve a republic in vigor. T. Jefferson, circa 1790. It's a beautiful observation about America's cities. They seem to take more than they give. Last observation.
Yeah, well, hold that thought. So, you're talking about the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, who did hold his big speech last night, announced that since the year 2020, the population has declined from 650,000 to 615,000. The mayor's, and he's a Democrat, his entire speech, the length of the speech, was disrupted by radical progressive protesters. They don't think he's progressive enough. The funniest thing, though, Murph, one of them was this big old dude who identifies as a woman, and he was wearing this huge dress, and he caused all sorts of issues, and the mayor kept misgendering the guy. Sir, you need to calm yourself. So, now he's fallen out. Sir, get yourself up off the floor. The play-by-play was brilliant, but it was a great big mess. That's what it was. And by the way, not once did the mayor thank President Trump, the National Guard, federal agents, ICE for the radical drop in crime in Memphis, Tennessee. Yes.
That's the last observation. Yours truly has a little side gig at a local car wash. And we had a deputy sheriff come in today to clean up his van, his car. And he and I got to chatting. And he says, we pray so much and so happy to have the National Guard here that it's gotten so quiet that he and his mentors at the sheriff department have to, quote, end quote, go looking for troublemakers. Now, why has no one, at least that I've, that maybe you've seen it or heard it, no one has spoken with the, our law enforcement officers and what this presence of the National Guard has done for them? It's all this hubbub.
Well, Murph, I'll take it as the reason. There's a reason why, and the reason why is because Memphis is a great example of the president's plan actually working. You know, the president said he was going to tackle crime in Memphis, and he delivered. And that's why nobody wants to talk about the great success story. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that most of the black citizens in this community are grateful that crime has plummeted, and they're thankful that President Trump sent in the National Guard. They don't want to have those conversations because it would give President Trump a win, and the national media, your local news media, even the mayor's office, they cannot bring themselves to saying thank you to President Trump and saying, wow, Mr. President, you are actually right about this. That's what it's all about. Murph, I got to run. Thank you for calling. We'll be right back.
Go to sleep, go to sleep. Hush, my baby.
Shh. Be quiet. Be quiet, listeners. Congressman Jerry Nadler has fallen asleep. He's on the dais of the House Judiciary Committee, and they're having that hearing with Pam Bondi, and he's sawing logs. He's just in la-la land. So, shh. Just softly. We don't want to wake Jerry. Jerry Nadler. Oh, wait a second. Looks like a staffer is... The staffer is going over. Congressman Nadler, wake up. Wakey, wakey. Wake the sleepy dust from your eyes. Congressman.
Wake up, you moron! You're in the middle of the TV hearing, for crying out loud.
Oh, there he goes. Rest now. Go to sleep, Congressman. All right. You folks in the Houston area and really across the state of Texas, looks like a lot of the schools are still doing these protests where the teachers and the administrators are just, I don't know, letting the kids walk out of class. Now, back when I was in school, if you did something like that, you would get, you'd be sent to the principal's office and you would get a whooping. And once you got a whooping at the principal's office, they would call your parents and you would normally get it twice as hard when you got back home, right? I mean, that's kind of the way things were. Oh, by the way, we have some breaking news.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
All right, we can confirm that Congressman Jerry Nadler has woken up from his nap. There was actually some concern that maybe he had just, well, expired. I mean, he was in a deep sleep. Nobody could wake that. They had finally sent a staffer over. The poor guy falls asleep on national television, and everybody thought, he went on to glory. He's just a heavy sleeper. So anyway, the good news here, Congressman Nadler has woken up. He is still with us, and we'll keep you updated there. Anyway, back to Houston. So now in Houston, Arlington Heights, by the way, that's the Fort Worth area, and I want to start there. You've got Arlington Heights High School, and they're encouraging students to protest ICE on the 13th. Parents there say that conservative students are getting bullied and are terrified. Meanwhile, another high school in Harris County, that students protesting at Spring Woods High School, and they're harassing motorists on at a busy intersection. This is in Houston. During the video, you can see students picking up rocks and throwing the rocks at a truck. One of the windows got shattered. This is insane, and we're seeing this sort of behavior all over the place. And I'm curious, you folks that live in Houston, are you aggravated that your public schools, taxpayer-funded schools, are now being used to train up next-generation Antifa members? So here's a guy who lives in Houston, and he posted a really interesting video on social media talking about the situation there in the Houston area.
Let's be honest about the real reasons why you're seeing so many anti-ICE protests and walkouts across the country and why so many kids are choosing to be a part of them. Reason number one is because most of the time, if you are of school age and you're given a excuse to get out of class, you're probably going to take. That's just basic human nature. Many people remember when they were back in school themselves and they would have loved to be out of class or anywhere. But of course, I was homeschooled for all 12 years. And when you're homeschooled, you're not allowed to just walk out when you get a wild hair. You are there in school to learn. And that is why, on average, homeschool students score statistically significantly higher on standardized tests than their public school counterparts, but I digress. Reason number two, so many kids are choosing to be a part of this, is because of that fear of ostracization, that fear of social pressure. And that pressure comes many times from their peers. We all remember how crazy of a time high school is, and many individuals just don't want to rock the boat. So even if they don't really truly believe in being anti-ICE, many people fear what would happen if they were outed as an individual who stands up for law enforcement. Crazy to say that, but that's the status quo. But reason number three is probably the most shocking, but the most prevalent here in America in 2026. And that is because kids are being intentionally propagandized and radicalized by liberal left-wing teachers who are all within the public education apparatus doing their very best to try to mobilize this next generation and brainwash them before they even have a chance to think for themselves. Many school children today struggle with basic literacy, right? They should be in school learning more now than ever before, but guess what? They are being told to go out in the streets and riot and protest and push back against ICE and Trump and this and that, not knowing the first thing about what they're even actually talking about. And reason number four might be because maybe some of these kids do actually believe strongly and feel strongly about ICE and Trump and so on and so forth. But that's a statistical minority of students who are out there. Most kids who are out there in the streets are going to be, for reason number one, just getting an excuse to get out of class, or reason number three, because they have been propagandized. And both of those reasons are reasons we should address and take a hard look at as we are preparing this next generation for the future.
Yeah, I like this guy. A lot of wisdom coming out of Houston, Texas. Meanwhile, in Fort Worth, a principal sent, get this, 200 students to train with the Marxist Freedom Road Socialist Organization. All of this before an anti-ICE march. Parents were not told. Students were given instruction on revolutionary tactics and chants. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not education. This is indoctrination. We understand that Boswell High School principal Ryan Wilson allegedly arranged for 200 students to receive direct action training from the Freedom Road Socialist Group. This is a Marxist-Leninist NGO. The group then led the students reading from Amuse. That is the very popular Twitter account. The group then led students to an anti-ICE march on Monday, teaching chants that included, I am not the pig, I am the proletarian, I am a revolutionary. The session lasted several hours. Parents were not informed, no consent was obtained before students were placed outside under political instruction. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, this is simply unacceptable, but it's happening, and it's happening with your tax dollars. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So we have an update on a weird story. So earlier today, I don't know if you heard this, but people were freaking out. They had announced, the FAA announced an emergency shutdown of airspace across El Paso, Texas.
Saw about that, and I was a little question why they would do that.
Not just for, a couple of hours, but for 10 days.
Yeah.
10 days due to security reasons. And I mean, everybody was scared. You had, I mean, again, that's a major, El Paso's a major American city, a very busy airport. It's an international airport right there on the border. And people were thinking, oh my gosh, are we looking at a, you know, at a possible nuclear situation? Are we concerned that there may be something coming across the border? Nobody knew. So then they come back and they say, oh, it turned out to be drones that were operated by the cartel, the drug cartels. And again, you're thinking, holy cow, were the cartels going to use those drones to, I don't know, maybe take down commercial jetliners? I mean, that was certainly a possibility. You just don't know. And that's what concerns me, is not that the plane's going to crash, but that, you know, the plane's going to be able to operate fine. But if you got something crashing into the plane, like a drone loaded with, I don't know, some sort of an explosive, or if you've got the lasers out there, or maybe a surface-to-air missile, I mean, there are lots of options for taking down, you know, commercial jetliners.
What that makes me think of is like the disrupting of like technology. So if a drone was in the range of a plane, it could disrupt the whole engine.
The electronics. Yeah, the electronics. I mean, it could fry everything. It's scary stuff.
That's very scary.
So then they came out and they said, all right, it's the cartels, and we're now lifting the 10-day. We're lifting the 10-day order, and you're going to be able to go back to. And people are like, wait, what? What? You just announced you were shutting down airspace for 10 days. You put the fear of God in the entire country, and now you're saying it was, what, a drone from the cartels? What's going on here? Well, we have new information. We have a new update from Morgan Phillips and Liz Fryden from Fox News. You know what it was? It wasn't drones. They were party balloons. They shut down a major international airport and airspace over a major American city because it was a party balloon. These idiots. I wonder if it was like Bugs Bunny, you know, one of the character balloons.
Yeah, like the Macy's Day Parade balloon.
Exactly.
They got one of those.
A U.S. official confirmed to Fox News that the U.S. military this week shot down what was later determined to be a party balloon near El Paso, Texas, after initially assessing it as a possible foreign drone. The misidentification eventually led to a total shutdown of airspace around the El Paso airport. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum said her government had no information indicating drone activity along the border following a temporary airspace restriction in Texas that U.S. officials linked to counter drone measures. It was all of that for a party balloon.
We have problems with balloons in this country. Hey, I don't blame them. They see a balloon nowadays, they're like, yeah, that's, you got to shoot that down.
But here's the problem. We let a Chinese spy balloon traverse the entire length of the nation, the continental United States, floating over every single major military installation of the country. And nobody shot that down, but you're shooting down a Bugs Bunny party balloon over El Paso?
We debated about that Chinese balloon for weeks, whether we should shut it down or shoot it down or not.
And, right?
Hey, Bugs Bunny balloon, it's got to go.
I'm sorry, but what exactly?
That's the most expensive balloon you'll ever see.
I'm just wondering, can they not do a flyby and just, oh, it's not a drone, it's Bugs Bunny.
Can we send our own balloon up there? We have drones. Send an actual drone up there first.
Here's what concerns me. You know, you've got a kid, and the kid having a birthday party at the local park, and the kid's got one of these balloons filled with helium. I mean, what happens if they dispatch, you know, I don't know, a stealth bomber to take out the kid's balloon? We've got a drone. It's got numbers on it. 10. And the words, happy B-Day. What? That bombing day. It's bombing day. Give them permission to engage. It's terrible. Anyway, Fox, which is now the Guthrie News Channel, that's all they cover. They say shortly after the restriction was put in place, the FAA and the Department of War reopened the airspace and determined there is no threat to commercial travel. This is a colossal mess. And may I just recommend that the people in charge of the Pentagon and the FAA, and the which would be the Department of Transportation, need to get their act together. And you know what? Maybe, just maybe, and this is just cordial, courteous advice. If you would spend as much time doing your job as you are in the makeup chair at the Guthrie News Channel, maybe, just maybe, you'd be able to do your job and there would be a balloon still floating over El Paso, Texas. Mommy, what happened to Bugs Bunny? He's missing an ear. I just... 10 days. Let's go to Rick in Gainesville, Georgia. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Todd. I was just going to tell you the difference in now and when the Chinese balloon was going over the United States. We have a president in office now. His name's Donald Trump.
Well, this is true, and I think Trump would have shot down the Chinese spy balloon before it even reached our shores.
I believe so, too.
Well, anyway, good news, I guess. You know, there wasn't a nuclear bomb. Nobody was dropping a bomb on El Paso, so there you go. It was just a balloon.
Fantastic.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate the call. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, before we go to break, though, wanted to give you an update. So this is weird. So late last night on the Guthrie News Channel, that previously known as Fox, they were telling us that they had a person of interest, and then Kash Patel, who's been down there, Kash Patel announced that there were multiple people of interest. And what, now it turns out the poor guy didn't do it? I mean, he's just wrong place, wrong time. I don't know. But you're wondering if the FBI is botching this case once again. You know, it's got to get it together. But, man, they're falling all over themselves to get on the Guthrie News Channel. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, so again, the breaking news. The military using a laser weapon to take down what they thought was a cartel drone when, in fact, it was a SpongeBob birthday balloon. So those laser weapons, you don't want to mess around with those things, right? I think they're attaching them to the sharks and the – right. No, I'm sorry. That was Austin Powers. My bad. It did sound familiar. Let's go to the phones, shall we? Virginia, Barbara, listening to us on our newest affiliate, WTON. Barbara, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, you might not say welcome after I disagree with your opinion. I, for one, am very grateful that we finally have someone who's willing to protect us, even though it might be wrong. I think this country is so dangerous right now, it's not funny. We're surrounded by people that want to hurt us. Everywhere you go, and I don't care where you are, but the Chinese balloon thing, it made me sick that they let it do what they let it do. And I agree Trump would have shot it down before it ever got close enough to learn anything from us.
Trump would have been riding shotgun. He would have been the wingman in the plane shooting it down.
That's right. Yep. He cares about us. Biden, first of all, he wasn't really there. So whoever was in charge didn't like us people, us working people that make the money that pays them. You know what I mean? It makes me sick. I'm old now, and I want it to be like it was when I grew up. For my grandchildren.
Barbara, I think that's really what all of us want. And look, I'm glad they shot it down. I think, though, that they've got to figure out a better way, because they put the fear of God in everybody across the country. It was really unprecedented. Of course, also Fort Bliss is near El Paso. And you had a lot of people thinking we were in, you know, imminent danger, when in fact it was a birthday balloon. And I think they probably could have figured that out a lot quicker than they eventually did.
It must have been a really good balloon.
Must have been. Now, Barbara, I don't want you to hang up. You know, this is our brand new affiliate. We've just been broadcasting the show for about 2 weeks on WTON. And we are excited to be in that part of Virginia. And I want to send you one of my most recent books as a way of saying welcome to the show.
Huh, how about that?
All right, so we're going to put you on hold, Barbara, and we're going to get all of your info, so don't go anywhere. The lovely Miss Helen, who also happens to be a Virginian, will get your intel. By the way, I got some news just a little while ago from our good friends at WDUN, Martha Zoller, who has filled in on this show a time or two. She's got her own great show there in Gainesville, Georgia, had a heart attack at church. And she's doing good, and I was emailing Bill Main, who is the great morning show host and the great radio guru in those parts, and he said that when she was in the ambulance, this is something I would have done, when she was in the ambulance going to the hospital to be treated for the heart attack, she was calling the station to make sure somebody was there to fill in for her. All right, you get well, Martha Zoller. Do what the doctors say, and we'll talk to you on the radio very soon. Would you guys do me a favor? Would you say a prayer for my friend Martha Zoller? I know she really would appreciate it. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of the big show coming up. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Hello. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Trust you're doing well. Welcome to Hour 3. So we're starting a new feature on the program, and I'm very excited about this. Every Wednesday, we're going to invite some of the best financial advisors I know into our studio, and they're going to talk about whatever is big happening in the economy and really how to help you as you navigate through retirement plans and paying for college and all those kinds of things. And we're even going to take your calls. So if you have a question, we'll be happy to take those calls. Our telephone number, write this down if you've got a question for our financial gurus, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we'll be talking to our friends from Strategic Financial Partners in just a few moments. So there are a couple of interesting stories coming out of the Olympics where Team USA doubling down, and many of the athletes are still hating on America. As a matter of fact, one of them issuing a profane statement saying she called herself the B word. It seems to me, why would you do that? Why would you want to call yourself that? But anyway, she says she's woke and she's the B word, and she's very proud of the hateful things she has said about the United States of America. So anyway, all of this was discussed last night on my Newsmax show. Every week, my friends Mary Walter and Kay Smythe join us, and we have a wild conversation. Mary was also asked to weigh in on the controversy surrounding that Super Bowl halftime show, which is now you've got Republicans demanding federal investigations because of the pelvic thrust and the dry humping that happened on national television, mind you. Anyway, here's that conversation. Mary, I'm just curious, what do you think it was that set off the congressman? Was it the dry humping or the pelvic thrust?
Wow. Hi, how you doing? I didn't watch the Bad Bunny halftime show, so I didn't see any of it, but I did hear reports of all of the above. It was not family friendly from what I understand, but is that really something that you can go after them for? I mean, Michael Jackson was up there, you know, grabbing the junk, right? Like, that was like his famous stance, remember? He'd be up there, you know, just making sure it was still there, checking, I guess, during the middle of the show. So this isn't the first time that something like this has happened. But I heard, well, a lot of people don't understand what the hell he was singing about. Nobody knows. But some people have translated it, and there was apparently quite a few obscenities that had he been singing in English would not have been allowed. So they're trying, apparently, to go after him for that. I don't know. I'm very confused, honestly, but there were like people dressed like trees, like running across the thing. I don't know what was happening in the entire show. Confused.
Kay, I'm wondering how many liberals even knew who Bad Bunny was before all this blew up. You know, they're all just huge Bad Bunny fans. I'd love to see their playlist. I don't think Bad Bunny's on the playlist.
No, I don't think Bad Bunny's on the playlist, and I don't think this performance would get him on there. Yeah, I agree with Mary, though. Definitely, you know, less breasts than, you know, Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson, but also a heck of a lot less talent. I saw a rumor, I don't know, it's like almost like allegedly, you know, he uses just so much autotune, it's kind of hard to imagine that he still sung that badly. It was, we have a saying in the UK, I think I've used it on the show before, like all talk and no trousers. This was all fluff and no trousers. That's kind of how it felt, because there was no real talent, no real singing. It was just a lot of people prancing around, looking busy, but not really doing anything of any merit, or certainly not of any entertainment value. Really sad for the NFL. Yeah, they could have done better. They didn't have to make it political. They could have chosen someone that America actually wants to go see. And let's be honest with you, all those liberals are still listening to Morgan Wallen, so he would have been a much better choice, as much as they lie about it.
All right. Ladies, let's switch gears and talk about the Olympics. We've got American athletes, Mary, facing backlash for comments about politics at home. They're attacking the president. They're attacking ICE. Is it really bad form here for these athletes to trash their country while representing their country abroad?
Of course it is. But the crime here really lies with the American press, who asked these kids these questions to goad them into an answer that they want, right? The reporters are the one who are making it political. But didn't we just have a tennis tournament where they tried to do the same thing with those players and they had none of it? They were like, no, I'm not really here to talk about that. So they were a masterclass in how to handle this. These kids, they're kids. These Olympians are kids, they need to be trained in how to handle the press and how to answer a question that does not land you in hot water. And that clearly is sorely lacking. And I'm not surprised by the answers. You know, they just want to be liked. They want to be popular. They want to say the right thing. But it's disgusting.
All right, ladies, we got to talk Valentine's Day. It's just around the corner. And if you're getting just coming out of maybe a bad relationship, Valentine's Day, not so pleasant. So the Maryland Zoo came up with a plan. Turns out you can actually name a pile of animal dung after your ex for just $5. And the San Antonio Zoo is taking it a step further. They're going to name a cockroach or a rat after your not-so-special ex and then feed it to the animals. Kay, what say you?
Oh, I think this is magical. You know, I saw this headline, Todd, and I knew we were going to be talking about it tonight. I shared it on social media, and then I found out that my local animal shelter, if you make a donation, they'll actually write someone's name at the bottom of the litter boxes that they use for the cats. And I thought that was magical. I made a donation earlier this year, and I shot them a message asking if they could, it's not an ex, but I asked if they could put my neighbor's name in there, because she's just like a very difficult person, hard person to like, and she's upset me when it's come to the animals before. But I think this is magical. I think this should be an annual thing. Can you imagine how much donations would go up for these places? I think it's superb. Love it.
Mary, what say you?
I adore this. This is so much more cathartic than burning everything he left behind, which is also very cathartic. You know, nice little bonfire on a cold night, and like, and there goes his shirt, and there's this. But I absolutely love this. But the question is, do you let him know that you made the donation? Or do you just do it for yourself just to get the catharsis out there? You know, that, and it's only $5, so it's not like a huge investment into purging that person out of your life. So I love this all the way around. I think it'd be really cool if they like sent the recipient a little card, you know, thank you for your donation to the Human Fund or the, you know, to whatever this is. And we're going to feed a beetle named after you to a lizard. I just love it. And make it anonymous so they don't know who did it.
Oh, I love that.
Wow.
Right?
Devin, the Madagascar hissing cockroach. Jeez-a-loo. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What an honor to have you guys with us today. And as promised, we have a brand new feature. Every Wednesday, we're gonna answer your financial questions. You know, Trump accounts are on the way. I know a lot of you folks are going to have questions about that. Maybe some of you are looking at retirement or 401k plans. We've got all sorts of great intel for you, thanks to our good friends at Strategic Financial Partners. And I want you to write down this website address, strategicfinancialpartners.com. And we're so excited to have in studio with us today, making their inaugural appearance on the Todd Stearns Show, Adam Martin, a financial advisor, and Chris Loftus, a financial services rep. Guys, good to see you.
Good afternoon.
Good being here.
Well, so we've already got folks lined up waiting to ask you guys questions, but first, I think we kind of got to get to know you guys. So I understand y'all are what, far leftist, handle finances for Antifa? Or
absolutely not.
No.
I'll let Adam's the more interesting out of the both of us, so I'll let him go first because he'll steal my thunder, but I think that's rightfully due. So go for it.
Well, you know, my background is comprehensive financial planning. I am a military veteran, United States Navy, and proud of that. So hoo-yah, Navy. And my life has always been dedicated to service, and now I just do it in a financial planning capacity.
I love that, and we sure do appreciate you serving our great nation as well. I think that's a huge thing. And Chris, you're like the young gun around here.
I know. I'm the sole representative of my generation, Gen Z, but kind of breaking the mold of financial literacy here in my generation. I've been my third year in this career in financial services. You know, lifelong son of the South here in Memphis, Tennessee, and just absolutely love providing services and just helping people get more clarity in how to take control of their financial future.
And the great thing, you guys answer so many questions. I know our KWAM audience loves you, our flagship radio station, but you guys can handle questions from really anybody anywhere in America. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
I love this. You know what? Before we talk about our big issue, can we go to the phones? Because we do have a question from one of our listeners in Gainesville, Georgia. Dan, listening to us on WDUN. Dan, what's your question?
Hey, Todd, it's Stan, S-T-A-N.
Stan, my apologies. Stan, what's going on?
Yes, I had a 401k before I was retired. I'm retired, and I've had it with a certain firm, a large firm. And I just wanted to know the expectations that I had. I thought I would be able to grow that as I had to take the minimum distributions. I'm paying the fees and the investment firm is fiduciary, so they have my best interest. They have me in a huge number of investment vehicles, and they move me in and out of these all the time. And I made about 10% the first year after President Trump was out of office during his first term. But subsequent to that, during the Biden administration, I was down 20-30+%. I'm just now back to where my funds are even at what I had with the initial investment. I wanted to know, am I expecting something unreasonable for that account to grow and still be able to have my minimum distributions and pay their fees as well? Because I haven't been very happy. It's been 5 years now, and I'm just now back to even where I started with what I initially transferred over there. As a standard IRA distribution now.
Yeah, let me ask you, how old are you?
I'm 77.
Okay, so you are in the required minimum distribution years, and those can naturally have a drag on your portfolio performance because we're distributing money from the account. But to see a swing from up 10% and then down 20-30, my next question would be, how often are you meeting with your financial advisor at the firm where you hold your money?
Only when I transfer the money initially, that's been about it, and they call me very infrequently.
So I would totally say, you know, that this is your money and he has a fiduciary responsibility to you, and that is the expectation that we're going to grow this, whether it's an aggressive stance, if it's a moderate conservative. The expectation is, hey, we're going to invest these dollars based on your expected life expectancy and your overall risk tolerance. So by all means, you should be picking up the phone when you have these concerns, reaching out to them, and then asking them for an explanation. And if you don't feel satisfied with the explanation that you're given, that's when we tell people, get a second opinion. And that's what we're here to do. We're absolutely happy to help you and give you that second opinion.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? Would you have an expectation that there should be some growth in addition to paying those fees and getting my minimum distribution? Should I see growth on top of?
Yeah, we certainly should. I wouldn't set the expectation that you'd see a tremendous growth because you're in the years where we shouldn't be as aggressive. But, yeah, we need to be growing the money because there's money coming off the portfolio, so we've got to keep up with inflation and distributions.
Stan, I appreciate that call, and I want you to write down, and folks, we'll give out telephone numbers, so if you guys want to reach out to Adam or Chris directly, you'll be able to do that. But, again, if you do have a question, give us a call, 901-260-5926, and the guys will be happy to help you out. That's 901-260-5926. I've been hearing a term a lot here, guys, something called baby-proofing your financial plan. What in the world is that all about?
Well, as in life, whenever you are expecting a child, what do you do? Well, you put on outlet covers, you put some gates in front of the stairways, you make sure that they can't open up certain cabinets, get in the medicine cabinet. The same goes for your financial plan. You are prepping your life for things that you want to make sure doesn't happen. So you are making sure you are staying safe and your children are staying safe. I mean, I have so many young clients who are having children right now. I have older clients who are expecting grandchildren, and they want to make sure that they're taking care of their livelihood and making sure they're ready for these kids.
How early is too early to start preparing for things like college account or, you know, whatever you're saving for?
So there's really no too early answer there. I mean, obviously, time value of money is the most important aspect when we think about how do we grow these dollars. So the sooner, the better. And it's really about being intentional early. Just like physically baby-proofing, it's about preventing accidents before they happen. Financial baby-proofing is about putting structures in place so future expenses don't become financial emergencies, such as funding a college education.
Right. And it doesn't have to even be these major contributions, right? You can start small. I think a lot of people have it in their head that, oh, if I'm going to do anything financially, I need to go big or go home. And that's not the case at all. Thankfully, we live in a country, we live in an economy where there's this little thing called compound interest. You know, if you get into these healthy, basic habits going on, you're going to start to see that number grow, whether that's a 529 plan, whether that's something regarding a retirement fund. If you are able to be consistent and diligent, you can actually start to see some major impact in where you put your dollars.
And let's talk about the 529. What exactly is that?
A 529 is an education purpose-driven investment account. So it comes with some tax advantage growth, and they're used primarily to fund room and board, tuitions, books, and any kind of school-related qualified expenses. So it's a model that is in place for you to be able to grow assets for your child, knowing that they will go to college in the future.
So, go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was just going to add, you know, I like people to remember that a 529 plan isn't supposed to be something you just lock in, you're stuck in it. It's just simply another tool that is out there for you to be able to use. It's not about locking yourself into something you can't sustain. It's about building a habit of saving for education while keeping the rest of your financial picture healthy.
That makes sense. Guys, can you stick around for another minute? We're going to take a break here, but we're just so honored to have some brand new friends of the program, Strategic Financial Partners, and these guys are here to answer your financial questions. I know we're going to get into the Trump accounts maybe next week or week after, because a lot of parents are going to have questions about that. But if you have a question for Anna Martin and Chris Loftus, give us a call, 901-260-5926. You can ask your question on air. That's 901-260-5926. Their website, strategicfinancialpartners.com. And if you'd like to give Adam a call directly, 901-260-2438. Chris, you're his number, 901-657-3324. We'll be giving those numbers a little bit later when we come back. So again, our number, 901-260-5926. Don't forget, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. We have a jam-packed lineup. Congressman Tom Tiffany is going to join us. Also, our good buddy Josh Jones is going to drop by. And Joe Thomas from radio station WTON, he's going to be on one of our great panels. This is going to be a lot of fun. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, coming up tonight, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. President Trump, big fan of Newsmax, by the way. Millions are tuning into Newsmax, watching on cable, also going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we're now one of the top news brands in the nation. Find out why. Newsmax is the fastest-growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. You can get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. Take seconds to start and let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax, real news for real people. And speaking of real people, we are honored to have Adam Martin and Chris Loftus with Strategic Financial Partners. Their website, strategicfinancialpartners.com, and they're taking your questions. They're going to join us every Wednesday, and no matter what sort of a financial question you may have, they're going to do their very best to help you out. And by the way, Stan, if Stan, who called in the last segment, if you're listening, give us a call, and we want to get your information so the guys can reach out to you. I know, Adam, you had talked about wanting to just reach out to Stan to try to lend him a helping hand.
Definitely. Yeah, I would love to help him think through his situation and then leave him better than we found him.
All right. So, Stan, just give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So, guys, again, we're talking about, and especially for our younger listeners, this idea of building these education savings plans. And really, you know, again, people are concerned because they're like, well, wait a second, do I have to sacrifice building up my retirement account by putting together, you know, an education account?
You know, that's one of the most important conversations that we have with families. And the short answer is retirement comes first. There are loans for education, but there aren't any loans for retirement. So we want parents to know that we don't want you jeopardizing your retirement just to try to put your kids ahead or get them a head start. So we want you to have a good balance between continuing your retirement savings and then figuring out where can we find those dollars to adequately fund a future savings for your
kids. And I want to point out that word right there, balance. It just means there has to be balance. It doesn't mean that you can't help your kids. You know, you want a good financial plan that looks at cash flow, it looks at retirement savings, it looks at emergency funds and education savings all together. But education funding should complement your plan, not compete with it at the end of the day.
But what happens, say, you know, your kid turns 17, 18, and they're like, Mom, Dad, college is not in the future. What happens to all that money?
So that's one of the beautiful things about a 529 is it has flexibility, and a lot of people don't realize what flexibilities they have. So let's say that 17-year-old has a sibling. It's as simple as changing the beneficiary from one child to the next, and there's no impact on the actual account, no tax impacts. And then the Secure Act 2.0 that came out, there was some literature that showed that, hey, even if your child gets education paid for with a scholarship and they don't need all the money that they built up in a 529, there's now a Roth IRA component that you can move some of the remaining 529 dollars into a Roth and give them a head start on their retirement.
So if you had to give our listeners today one financial baby-proofing move they could make this year, even if they don't make a lot of money, what would that be?
I'd say, you know, add automation. You know, even small automated contributions to where you make it regular, habitual. You know, it helps remove the emotion and the procrastination out of the equation, right? When savings become routine, it's much easier to stay consistent over time. So just make it to where, hey, you are riding in, you know, $50 a month, $150 bucks a month, maybe $500 a month. And then you just get it to where, hey, this isn't money for me to spend. This is money that's working for me.
And it doesn't have to be a large monthly contribution. The key word here is consistency. So the goal is not perfection, it's progress. We just want to see you guys make progress.
For me, that's I automate everything. Mm-hmm. So I don't even think about it. Otherwise, I might want to go to the bookstore and buy some more books. So yeah. I'm glad that. Guys, we do have a call. Let's go to David in San Francisco. Hi, David. What's your question for the guys?
Oh, thanks, Todd, and your guest. Just before Inauguration Day a year ago, Trump announced he was going to create the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve. And I'm wondering if they're familiar with the concept. If I remember right, he wanted to take the gold of Fort Knox and buy Bitcoin with it and then balance the world's economy.
David... I hope that's not a campaign promise that can't be unfulfilled, but I have not heard or seen much literature on that since, and I can't speak on that just adequately enough to give you a real definitive answer, but I'm intrigued by that myself. I'm going to do some more research.
Well, it's the White House press office. Go to the White House press office. You'll see material on it, but what's unfortunate about it, right away after he announced it, he then created his Trump coin. He created a Melania coin. He created Don Jr. coins and whatnot, and doesn't seem to have loyalty to the U.S. dollar anymore. He only has loyalty to these cyber currencies. So that to me is a real problem.
I would say volatility is the biggest issue with Bitcoin in general, whether it's through a Trump coin or a Doge coin or a meme coin. So what we always do as a default, we just talk about, hey, when we're planning for your financial future, we want to know what is consistent. And that is when we read the S&P 500, the Dow Jones Industrial, those are things that we can measure. And although we can't predict the future, we can actually go off historical performance. And there's just not enough there on Bitcoin for us to give an adequate assumption on that.
All right, David, thank you for that call. We talk about diversification. I think people are like, okay, I'm just going 100% into Bitcoin. For me, as far as, building retirement accounts, I've always heard diversify. Make sure that you don't have everything in the stock market, but is that the right approach?
That is absolutely the right approach. And we don't want you to be all in on one particular thing, because what happens when there's a correction in that one particular thing? We don't have any other avenues to offset that loss. So that's the biggest importance of diversification, because S&P may be down, but all of your international exposure is up. So we're kind of offsetting that loss with some gains.
All right, we've got people driving around. I'm sorry, go ahead, Chris.
Well,
I
was just going to reiterate with, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, right? Our job ultimately as financial professionals is to be able to locate those blind spots. Everybody feels confident about their financial situation right until they don't. And by the time they figure it out they don't, typically it's too late. So what we specialize in is looking for those areas where you might be overlooking a few things, maybe more than a few things, and being able to diagnose specifically, hey, this is the correct course of action. And for people who value advice, we're able to make a huge, tremendous impact in their long-term financial success.
Have you guys noticed just in the clients that are coming to you, are people feeling, bullish about the economy right now? Are they feeling a little bit better than they were, say, last year, year before last?
It depends on the day. And it's
really? Oh, wow.
They look at the market just like we do, but the best thing that we can do for our clients is just to have that conversation of this is why we plan. We know there's going to be downturns. We know there's going to be bull markets. There's going to be bear markets. And that's exactly what we want to emphasize to our clients. That's why we have a plan. Because when those bull markets happen, we're going to make a lot of money. Whenever the bear markets happen, we've got things in place so we aren't taking as much of a loss.
I'll tell you this, Todd. Something I've noticed, especially with these young couples, these young families, whether they're bullish or whether they're bearish, they're asking questions, which tells me that they're not panicking. But they're also not jumping in and going 100%. They want to make sure they're being strategic and intentional with their assets and their resources so they can go ahead and set themselves up for success.
I love that. All right, guys, we got to leave it there. StrategicFinancialPartners.com. Adam, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, my phone number is 901-260-2438.
And Chris?
My phone number is 901-657-3324.
All right, and they can just reach out to you guys directly if they like.
Absolutely.
Happy to help.
All right, well, guys, we'll see you next week. We got to talk Trump accounts.
Hey, we'll do it.
Because definitely. I know you guys have been getting a lot of calls about it.
A lot of calls, a lot of questions, a lot of people. They want to see what this is all about, and they want to see how this can benefit them.
All right, let's do it. Next Wednesday, everybody, bring your Trump account questions. Adam Martin and Chris Loftus are going to be here to answer those for you. Our good friends at strategicfinancialpartners.com. All right, got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Dylan, I didn't know you wanted to ask a question. You should have just hopped in.
I know. Well, I'm such a newbie at like finance stuff. Like I would just sound dumb, but no dumb questions, right? In finance,
no dumb questions. But here's the thing about Bitcoin for me. I just, you know, I would much rather have the money I can see. I would rather have gold and silver as opposed to the Bitcoin.
Yeah, that stuff scares me. All the crypto stuff, it scares me. So maybe I just need to inform myself. But yeah, I think the real stuff, the gold and silver, That's where it's at.
All right, so we're gonna so next Wednesday we'll get the guys to answer your question.
Yeah, I'll probably come up with a question every single week.
All right, every Wednesday 2:35 you can bring your financial money questions to our great experts here. And it's a lot of fun, and a lot of people are asking about money issues, and the economy is doing great. People do have money to spend, and our friends over at Strategic Financial Partners are going to be able to answer all those questions. So there you go. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. A bit of controversy with the White House Religious Liberty Commission. Who would have thought? So Carrie Prejean Baller, I've known her for years. She was Miss California. She got in trouble because she said she believed in traditional marriage. And she became a darling of the evangelical Christian world, that religious liberty world. Well, now she is falling out of sorts because of something that happened yesterday when she decided that she was going to attack a Jewish member of the group. Take a listen to Cut 2.
Okay, so as a pastor, are you worried or concerned at all that certain parts of the Bible, particularly the New Testament, would be considered anti-Semitic, specifically to referring the killing and crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
Why would that be anti-Semitic? That is simply a fact.
Well,
that the Jewish
according
people,
to can the I finish? IHRA.
May I please finish when you ask me
yeah,
a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
When Jesus was crucified, it was most definitely at the hand of the Jews and of the Romans.
That would be considered anti-Semitism under IHRA. Are you aware of that?
If we're talking about 2,000 years ago, this is biblical history.
Yeah, that's under the
and
definition
yet, this
of
is
anti-Semitism.
The beauty, this is the beauty of God's faithfulness, is he made a covenant with Abraham, and God is not a man that he would lie. And so when he blesses a people, that blessing continues eternally.
Well, that's your theological perspective. That's not for 2,000 years the belief of the Catholic Church.
And I
think you should remain quiet and respect this hearing.
No outcry from the audience, please. Carrie, I think we've had this discussion.
I did invite it. It's my fault. I apologize.
No, I'm glad you did. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. And I'm from San Diego. I live there.
Encinitas.
We should get coffee. Yeah.
I would like that.
Yeah.
Do you surf?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, I'll take you surfing then.
Okay.
Thank you. For the record, the Holy See established formal diplomatic relations with Israel in 1993. Agreements between the two explicitly recognize each other's legitimate roles as state and church authorities. For example, the Holy See and Israel jointly affirmed each other's rights to operate and protect their communities and institutions, just for the record. Panel, thank you. Thank you very much.
And they also condemn the genocide in Gaza.
Oh, geez. All right.
Thank you, panel. Thank you very much.
All right. So then she gets into it with another member of the panel who is Jewish, got three.
One last follow-up. Since we've mentioned Israel a total of 17 times, are you willing to condemn what Israel has done in Gaza?
No, because I unilaterally reject that it's not a genocide. The only genocide ever carried out was on October 7th when Hamas tried killing every man, woman, and child they could possibly find. Hang on, let me refine.
70,000 innocent civilians killed?
Let me respond. So first of all,
condemn that?
And Carrie?
Just on the record.
Excuse me. Okay. As chair of the committee.
I think it's important we have this discussion.
I agree. I'm happy to answer.
And Carrie,
we'd be great friends.
Yeah. I'm happy to answer.
Carrie, we have had the discussion. Good questions. good answers. This is a commission on religious liberty. If there's another commission on this issue,
I don't know why we're talking about a foreign country.
To be fair, you brought it up.
Okay, you did.
At no point in my testimony did I mention Israel. I was very clear about American Jewry.
You did.
I did not mention Israel.
Okay. We'll talk about this later.
But that's objectively not true. I did not mention Israel.
This can be another discussion on another day, and you two can have coffee. Let's go to Rabbi.
So there we go. So I'm going to play just a portion of this. I had Congressman Randy Fine on my Newsmax show last night. I asked him to weigh in on this. Let's take a listen to some of that interview.
Now, Congressman, I know that you too, sir, had some issues with Bad Bunny's performance. Did it cross the line, first of all, and were FCC regulations broken here?
Well, I don't care what language you say it in. You can't say the F word in a live broadcast. And I don't care where you're from, but you can't tell children to go out and use cocaine. Both of those things happened in Bad Bunny's performance. It's against the law, and people need to be held accountable, particularly the NFL and NBC, who knew or should have known what was going to happen during the performance.
What do you think the NFL was doing here? Certainly, they've had months and months to revisit their decision. What do you think they were trying to do Sunday night in that halftime show?
You know, I've got to be honest. I don't understand it. I have to believe that the core NFL watching audience really didn't like it. So I'm not really sure. Maybe it's about expanding their brand into other countries or into other cultures. I don't know what the goal is. But the fact of the matter is you don't get to break American law in order to do it. And so it was a terrible decision. I do think there will be accountability. I think in the end, they're going to conclude it wasn't worth it because, look, people are going to be in big trouble for it. There's no question cursing was used. There's no question that drug paraphernalia was discussed. Even independent people who watched it have said that he used curse words or he mumbled or he held out the microphone so other people could scream it. What they were thinking, I have no idea. I can tell you this. I didn't watch it. I used the time to work on algebra with my son who was getting ready for a math test. We knew it was going to be a bunch of garbage, and that's exactly what it turned out to be.
Yeah, Congressman, I want to switch gears here for a minute. Talk about the SAVE Act. Majority of black voters, they support voter ID, according to the polls. Majority of Hispanic voters support voter ID. Just a few moments ago, we learned that Senator Murkowski, Lisa Murkowski, will not be voting for the SAVE Act. What is going on in the Senate, and why is the Senate Majority Leader blocking the SAVE Act?
Well, I think what we're going to do is we're going to be passing it off the floor, I believe, this week, an enhanced version, the Save America Act, which not only requires that we confirm citizenship before you register, but that you have to show a photo ID in order to vote. We will then set that to the Senate, and we're going to expect that they hear it. Why Lisa Murkowski is against these things is beyond me, because the fact of the matter is it is racist to say that minorities cannot get driver's licenses or photo ID. So why anyone would be against this, I don't know. I guess the question is maybe Lisa Murkowski needs to cheat in order to win, but that's the only reason to oppose these bills is if you can't win in a free and fair election.
All right, I've got to work on my time management skills, folks, but we'll play the clip tomorrow where the congressman called Kerry Prejean Baller a moron, and we'll get to that tomorrow. I can tell you that she has now officially been removed from the President's Religious Liberty Commission. The Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, who chairs that committee, says no member of the commission has the right to hijack a hearing for their own personal and political agenda on any issue. This is clearly, without question, what happened Monday at our hearing on anti-Semitism in America. This was my decision. So there you go. Wow, that's going to be a mess, no doubt about it. Kerry Prejean invoking the names of people like Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson. So you can imagine all you know what's about to break loose there. Hey, folks, 5 o'clock tonight. Be sure to watch the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. You can do that on YouTube and Facebook free of charge. We'll see you back here at noon o'clock right here on the radio. Be good, America.